You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church Online. It's so good to be with you this morning. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time today, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad you could be with us today. Welcome to all of you. I want to say a special word to those of you who have been joining us in person for the past few weeks. We miss you especially this morning. If you haven't heard already, Port Chester has been designated an orange zone with the rise in COVID numbers, and that means that we are capped at a 25-person max, which makes it really hard to have church in person. So that's where we're at right now. We're hoping that that designation is going to be lifted. Let's be praying for our community and that God will just turn the tide of this virus. But we're hoping to be back together in person soon. So just stay tuned over the next few weeks. It'll be kind of week to week for a while, but at least we can be together online this morning. We're all part of the online campus this morning. So it's so good to be with you this morning. Come on, why don't you wish somebody a happy Sunday in your living room? Drop it in the comments and let's prepare our hearts to receive from God's word this morning. I'm so excited that you're with us as we continue our Kingdom Citizen series. And when we started this series a few weeks ago, we started by looking at this verse from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Here's what it says: "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the Apostle Paul was writing to Christians living in the city of Philippi. Philippi was a very prosperous Roman colony, and the people who lived there actually enjoyed the status of being Roman citizens. And Paul knew that they could be tempted to kind of get caught up in that whole thing as their identity. And so he reminds them, you belong to a different kingdom. You're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and you have a different king. Come on, church, I want to remind you this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong to a different kingdom. You have a different king. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have different values. We have different priorities. Now, I looked up this word citizen, and here's how it's defined in the Oxford Dictionary. A citizen is a legally recognized subject or national of a state or commonwealth, either native or naturalized. That's what a citizen is, right? Either you're born in a country or you immigrate to a country and you become a naturalized citizen. But there's one word in that definition that stuck out to me, and it's the word subject, a legally recognized subject. That's not a word that we're used to using as Americans to refer to ourselves. I think about our British friends. It seems a little more natural to say I'm a British subject. But for us as Americans, that's not quite as familiar. And so I looked up the word subject, and here's how it's defined by the Webster's Dictionary. A subject is one that is placed under authority or control. And there were two sub-definitions. One who is subject to a monarch and governed by the monarch's law. One who lives in the territory of, enjoys the protection of, and owes allegiance to a sovereign power or state. A subject is one that is placed under authority or control, especially with this connotation of being under a king. Church, here's the idea. To be a kingdom citizen is to be submitted to the rule of the king. That's what it means to be a kingdom citizen. It is to be placed under the authority or control as God, your king. We're under God. Come on, church. We're under God. Somebody type it in the comments. We are under God. We're kingdom citizens placed under the rule, the reign, the authority, and the control of our good God. Now, I think it's a little difficult for us to resonate with this idea as modern-day people living in a democracy, this idea of being under the control or under the rule of a king. After all, we're Americans, and we got rid of our king a long time ago. If you didn't pay attention in American history class, we've all seen Hamilton. We know, right? Like, this is who we are. And I think we don't naturally really identify or embrace this idea of being under control or authority. How many of you, when you hear that that phrase, under authority, under control, that just resonates with you. No, I think we much prefer the idea of being empowered, of being empowered. If we don't like our leaders, we get to vote our leaders out. That's what we have elections for. Some of you are happy with the results of the recent election. Some of you aren't happy, but that's how it works in America. We are the ones who are empowered. After all, we're the country that came up with the Declaration of Independence. We're the country that wrote the preamble to the Constitution. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, blah, 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 do hereby ordain and establish this Constitution. That's who we are as modern day American independent people. And it's easy for us to think that we're in control. It's easy for us to have this mindset that nothing is influencing me. Nothing is ruling me. I'm making my own choices. I'm doing what's best for me. And everything in our culture reinforces this idea of our individuality, of the power of the individual. It's downright American. It's downright modern. This is the culture that we're living and breathing in. But here's the truth. The truth is something is always influencing you. Something is always influencing you. Something's always competing to be over you. Something's always competing to rule over you. Some people would say, no, nothing's running my life. Oh, everybody's influenced by something. Everybody's being driven by something. For some people, they're driven by the need for love and approval. For some people, they're driven by anxiety and fear. For some people, they're driven by the quest for money and the desire for success. Let me just tell you, if God isn't ruling over you, something else is. If it's not God, something is influencing your life. Something is over you. Something is driving you. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been around somebody who was under the influence of alcohol? Notice I let you off easy. I didn't ask if you've ever been under the influence of alcohol. Have you ever been around somebody who was under the influence of alcohol? What happens when you have a few drinks, when a person has a few drinks? It begins to change the way you think. You know, it begins to change what you think is funny and how you talk and how you see people and who's attractive to you. After a few drinks, some people who weren't attractive become more attractive to you. After a few more drinks, you even start to think that you're attractive. It affects your judgment, doesn't it? It affects your judgment. The first thing to go is your judgment. You don't even recognize that you're under the influence when you're under the influence. Here's the idea. What if we've become so intoxicated by the culture around us that we don't even recognize how far we've drifted from God, how much we are under the influence of this godless culture that we're living in? Can I just tell you something this morning, church? You will never drift toward God. You'll never drift toward being under his authority, under his control. We don't drift toward spiritual growth. You don't just wake up one day and take it easy and find that all of a sudden you're more like Jesus. You're closer to God. You're more filled with the Holy Spirit. You're more filled with the character of God, and that just happens on its own. No, we don't drift toward spiritual growth. Our natural tendency is to drift away from spiritual growth, is to drift away from the rule and the reign of God. The pull of sin is so strong. The pull of temptation is so strong. The pull of our culture is so strong. We have to continually yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's what this message is about today. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional in stewarding our hearts, in stewarding our souls, in stewarding our minds toward the kingdom of God. We have to continually yield ourselves to the Lordship, to the rule and the reign of our good God. How do we do that? What does that look like? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a blueprint for submitting to the rule of God in our lives, and it's actually found in Romans chapter 12. I want to take you there in just a moment. The book of Romans, the letter, the epistle of Romans, is one of the most fabulous books of the Bible, especially the New Testament, because Paul gives an explanation of the gospel, and it is perhaps the best explanation of the gospel in all of the New Testament. And what happens is in the first 12 chapters, Paul is unpacking and describing the gospel and what God has done for us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, and how Jesus has gone to the cross to pay for our sins. And he describes the gospel. Then when he gets to chapter 12, he shifts gears and he begins to describe how we should live in light of the gospel. And how then shall we live in light of all that God has done for us? Let's look at it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Look at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul says, as a response to all that God has done for us, as a response to him sending his one and only precious son, in response to his love, in his grace, in his mercy, his self-sacrificial love, give your whole life back to him. Make it an act of worship. Like, this is true worship. Worship isn't just something you do on Sunday morning. Worship is about your life. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a response to God's grace. It's giving your whole life back to him. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. Let God rule over every area of your life. We're not going to compartmentalize our life. We're not going to make our spiritual life just one of the compartments. So, you know, here I've got my social life. I've got my sex life. I've got my professional life. I've got my spiritual life. No, it's all spiritual. It all belongs to God. God, you rule and you reign over every aspect of my life. It's all submitted to you as an act of worship in response to your goodness, in response to your grace, in response to your mercy, Lord. Every part of my life, I give it back to you. And here's what it says in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform. If you're sitting with somebody in the living room, just turn to them and tell them, do not conform. Somebody type it in the comments, do not conform. Because why? Because you're submitted to the rule of God. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Literally the word here, world, a more literal translation is this age. Don't conform to the pattern of this age. The idea is this age is temporary. It's going to pass away. Why would we conform to something that's passing away? No, we're going to conform to the kingdom of God, something that's unshakable, something that's unmovable, something that's going to last for eternity. So how many of you know that there's a pattern to this world? How many of you know there's a pattern to our fallen culture, to the way people think, to the way people behave, to the way people treat each other, to the attitudes toward money and power and relationships and sex and whether or not we forgive people, how we treat people? There is a prevailing pattern in this culture. And let me just tell you, there's always pressure on us, whether we realize it or not, there's always pressure to conform to it. Culture says promote yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. Culture says, consume. Jesus says, give. Culture says, hate those who hurt you. Get even with those who hurt you. Be strong. Hit them back even harder. Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. The culture says, pursue things. Jesus says, pursue God. Culture says, live for now. Jesus says, live for eternity. Culture says, pursue happiness. Jesus says, pursue righteousness. Do you see it? Do you see the difference? There's a pattern that's always pressing down on us, and Jesus calls us to conform to a different kingdom. The world around us is always trying to squeeze us into this pattern, to conform to the patterns of this world. How do we break loose? How do we break loose, church? Let's keep going. Look at the rest of verse 2. Don't just not conform, but look at the rest of the verse. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not going to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're going to be conformed by the renewing of our minds. Here's the idea. If I think like everyone else, I'm going to get what everyone else gets. Let me say that again. If I think like everyone else, if I think like the broken, fallen culture around me, I'm going to get what everyone else gets. I think sometimes people are frustrated as Christians, like, you know, this Christianity thing isn't working out so great for me, Pastor. I don't understand. What am I not doing right? Well, we actually end up thinking like everybody else, valuing the same things that everyone else values, allowing the same thoughts to enter our mind and dominate and rule us, and then we wonder why Christianity doesn't work out for us. No. You got to renew your mind. You've got to renew your mind. If I think like everyone else thinks, I'm going to get what everyone else gets. But if I think the way God wants me to think, if I renew my mind, if I align my mind with the principles of God, with the word of God, then I'll start to produce what God wants me to have. I'll start to produce and experience the fruit of the Spirit, his love and his joy and his peace. And it starts with renewing your mind. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever done a cleanse or a detox. This has gotten really popular in our culture. You know, maybe you did some juicing of fruits and vegetables and you were going to detox and cleanse your system, cleanse your colon, you know, jumpstart your diet, lose some weight, get some of the toxins, flush them out of your system. Some of you have done that before, right? Let me ask this question. Have you ever considered doing a mental detox? Have you ever considered doing a mental cleanse? Because sometimes we've got some mental toxins that are built up. It's amazing to me that we'll pay so much attention to what we put in our bodies. Come on, some of you shop at Whole Foods. You spend a lot of money to eat organic, non-GMO, gluten-free foods, and you put the very best foods in your body. It's amazing that we'll spend so much focus, so much attention on what we put in our bodies, but then we'll just put junk in our minds. We'll just watch anything on Netflix. We'll just look at pornography. We'll just allow the same patterns of thinking to prevail in our minds. It's amazing. Let me just encourage you. Some of you, it's time to detox your mind. It's time to detox your thinking. There are some mental toxins that have built up. How do you do that? You got to get your mind in the Word of God. You got to get your mind in the things of God. If I think like everybody else, I'm going to experience what everybody else is experiencing. But if I begin to align my thinking with what God wants me to think, if I meditate on His thoughts, His precepts, His Word, then I'm going to begin to experience the things that God wants me to have. You got to learn to renew your mind, church. Come on. How do you need to renew your mind? What are the things that you need to cut out? What do you need to embrace? And then look at the result of this. If we refuse to conform to the pattern of this world that's pushing down on us and we begin to renew our minds, look at the results. Here's what happens, verse 2. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Like, this is the result. If you do these things, you develop godly discernment. You begin to develop some spiritual muscle memory, some godly discernment. This is what the Word of God trains our minds for, to come into alignment with God's kingdom rule and reign in our hearts, in our minds, so that in any given situation, you can begin to discern what is good and pleasing according to God's perfect will. And so, you know, you begin to have some questions in life. Should I get into this relationship with this person, even though there's all kind of red flags surrounding it? Should I sleep with this person just because I'm attracted to them? Should I keep spending my money this way, even though I know I need to get out of debt and be more wise with my finances? Should I put myself in that situation? Should I be around those people who are drinking, even though I'm trying to stay sober and I'm in recovery? Come on, you begin to develop some discernment as you make your way through this life. It's training your mind. It's renewing your mind so that in any situation you can do what is good, what is good, what is pleasing, and what is according to God's perfect will. Come on, church, we're kingdom citizens. We're kingdom citizens, citizens of the kingdom of God. We belong to a different kingdom. We have a different king. We choose to be under God. We're under His authority. We're under His control. We choose to submit our lives. That's who we are. As followers of Christ, we choose to submit our lives to His rule, to His reign. Let me just remind you today, something's always influencing you. Something's always driving you. Something's always, in a sense, ruling over you, whether you recognize it or not. There's a lot of people going through this life who think they're just driven by themselves, not even recognizing the influences, not even realizing what it is that's driving them, what's pushing them. Come on, if it isn't God, it's something else. If it isn't God, it's something else. I came to church this morning to have a little Holy Spirit wake-up moment with you this morning. If it's not God who's driving you, something else is driving your decisions. Something else is driving your priorities. Something else is driving where your attention goes, what you worship, what you think about, what your life is about. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Here's some good advice from the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what Peter encourages us to do. Here's what he says. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Come on, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. We're going to turn to Him. We're under God. We're under God. We're under God. We're going to turn and we're going to submit ourselves under His mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. Come on, that's the good news. As we submit to Him, as we give our lives over to Him, as we yield our hearts and our minds to Him. He's the God who will lift you up. Church, I want you to know this morning that true freedom is found in submitting to your Creator, submitting to your Savior. There's no freedom like walking with God. There's no freedom like having your life submitted to the one who made you, the one who created you, the one who knows everything about you. And this is so counterintuitive because so many people think, oh, to be a Christian means I can't do this. To be a Christian means I can't do that. And I'm stifled and there's all these things that I can't do. And here's the reality. Most people outside of Christ think they're free, but they're in bondage to all the different things that are running their lives. But here's the reality. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. When you come to know your Father, when you come to know the one who created you, who made you, who placed purpose on the inside of you, when you begin living for who He says you are, when you know that you have a God who loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son for you, that He emptied the riches of heaven for you, that sets you free to be a son, that sets you free to be a daughter, that sets you free to be the person that God has called you to be. Oh, there's no freedom like being submitted to Jesus Christ, like being submitted to our good God. Here's the counterintuitive thing. Here's the counterintuitive thing, and I want you to put it in your notes. The most freedom you'll ever experience is when you're most submitted to God, your King. Come on, the most freedom you'll ever experience is when you're most submitted to God, your King. Not when you're in charge, not when you're running your life, not when you're making all the decisions and calling all the shots and living your life how you want to live it. The most freedom you'll ever experience is when you're most submitted to God, your King. I'm telling you, church, Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling me to defect from the kingdoms of this world, to leave them behind and to follow Him. And I want to tell you, the happiest you'll ever be, the happiest you'll ever be is when you're closest to God. Let me just tell you, there are times in my life where the Holy Spirit has convicted me and helped me to realize that I began to drift. I began to drift, that God wasn't getting the best of my attention, that God wasn't getting the best of my heart. And every now and then I need these little Holy Spirit wake-up calls. Every now and then I need these little Holy Spirit reminders where God just draws me back to Himself by His love, by His grace. And can I just tell you this morning, church, the happiest I've ever been is when I've been closest to God. The happiest I've ever been is when God had my heart, when God had my attention, when I was walking with Him, loving Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. The happiest you'll ever be is when you're close to God. I love what St. Augustine said. He said this, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in You." Isn't it true, God? You've made us for Yourself, and our hearts are restless, God. We look for love and affirmation in so many things, in relationships and making money and all of these other things in our status. But God, our hearts truly find rest. They truly find their home when we make our way back to You. Our founding fathers made a declaration of independence. But today, church, we're making a declaration of dependence. Come on, let's declare our dependence on God today. God, I cannot live without You. God, I cannot live without You. God, I can't do this. God, I cannot go through this life without You. God, I cannot go through this world without You. God, I cannot be the spouse You called me to be, the mom or the dad You called me to be. I cannot be the friend, the sister, the brother, the worker, the manager. God, I can't be the person You called me to be without You. And today, God, I am declaring my dependence on You. I'm submitting myself to Your lordship, to Your rule, to Your reign. God, I come into agreement with Your word. I renew my mind today. I say, may Your kingdom come. May Your will be done in my life. And God, if my will doesn't match up with Your will, then I choose Your will. Come on, if my thinking doesn't line up with Your thinking, I choose to change. God, if the desires of my heart don't line up with what You want for me, God, I choose Your desires today. Come on, church, we're declaring our dependence on Him. God, I declare my dependence on You. I cannot live without You, God. Some of you, today's your day. You need to make this bold statement of faith. It's the statement that Joshua made to the people. He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm telling you, there are some parents watching this broadcast today. And I'm going to tell you, the most important thing you can give to your kids is a relationship with God. It's to teach them to love God with everything they have. They don't need all the stuff that you think they need. And some of you, it's time. It's time for you to start leading your family well. It's time for you to start leading your kids well. And you need to make this statement, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on, married people, some of you need to fight for the condition of your home. You need to fight for the condition of your marriage. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Young, single professionals, as for me and this household, me, even all by myself here, God, we are going to serve the Lord. God, we submit to your rule, to your reign. Today's the day. Come on, today's the day. Today's the day. And so let me end with two questions that I want you to pray about. We're going to do a little soul searching for just a moment here, then we're going to pray together. Here's two questions. Would you do some reflection with me? They're going to be on the screen. Maybe you want to write these down and pray over these this week. Put these in your notes. Here's the first question. In what ways have I drifted toward conforming to the world rather than being under God? In what ways have I drifted toward being the under the influence of culture, under the influence of what everybody else thinks, under the influence of what's popular in our culture, the prevailing attitudes of this culture? In what ways am I more under that than I am under God, under your rule and your reign, God? Come on, let's pray into that. Search our hearts, God. Here's the second question. What do I need to do? What do I need to start doing today? What do I need to start doing today to renew my mind? What do you need to do today? Just one thing. Come on, if you pray into that, I believe the Holy Spirit will show you. Holy Spirit, show me, what is it that I need to do today to renew my mind? Maybe it's something I need to let go of. Maybe it's something I need to cut out of my life. Maybe it's something that needs to go away from my life, but then replace it with something else. Maybe it's getting back into the Word of God. Maybe it's getting the Bible app out and subscribing to a reading plan and starting to listen to it every day on your commute. Listen to the Word of God. Read the Word of God every day. Maybe it's putting some worship music on around the house. 5 or 10 minutes. It's amazing how that'll change your day. I've been doing that lately. Lately, I've just been putting some worship music on and just getting into the presence of God at home. And I'm just telling you, it'll change your day. just put some worship music on while you're doing the dishes. It's amazing how putting some worship music on will change the atmosphere of your home, how fear will go away, how tension will go away, and the peace of God will come, the presence of God will come. Maybe it's just spending a few moments in prayer every morning, a few moments in prayer. What do you need to do to renew your mind starting today? Just one thing. Come on, Holy Spirit, show me. What do I need to let go of? What are the influences I need to let go of? Maybe it's what I'm filling my mind with. Maybe it's media. Maybe it's the negative patterns of thinking that I've gotten stuck in. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Where did you get clogged mentally? Come on, God, renew our minds. Would you pray with me? Come on, we're going to pray into this together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be a part of your kingdom. And we submit to your rule, to your reign today. We align our hearts with your heart today, God. We want what you would have for us today. We choose to be under you, God. We choose to be under you, to follow you, to love you with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength. God, we pray that you would show us where we've drifted. That, God, you would show us the areas of our lives where we've come under the influence of this fallen culture, maybe where we're operating under the influence of our own sinful nature. And Lord, today we choose to be under the influence of your Spirit, that you would lead us, that you would guide us. We're under you, God. We humble ourselves today under your mighty hand. Father, we ask you to renew our minds today. Renew our minds and our hearts today. Jesus, we want to follow you. We declare our dependence on you today. God, we cannot live without you. You are our God. We submit ourselves to you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Father, I pray you bless every person who prayed that prayer. Father, I pray you show them today, that you show them today, God, what's the one thing they can do to become more fully submitted to your love, more fully submitted to your leading, more fully submitted to your purposes for their life. Bless every home today, every home, every person who's watching this under the sound of my voice today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's worship to this final song, church.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.